Okay, so one of the less understood things about an hour-long podcast is that it actually takes quite a few hours behind the scenes to make. You're lining up different people's schedules, you're writing scripts, editing audio, making it feel effortless actually takes a bit of effort. That's why I want to recommend Notion. Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organize, and rediscover the joy of play. It's a workspace designed not just for making progress, but getting inspired too, so that when it comes time to hit the record button, everyone's on the same page, or TeamSpace, or Calendar, or QuickNote, have a play around, they're all there. Notion combines your collaborations into one space that's simple and clear, and it also has some AI running in the background to help things along. Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/squared. And just an FYI, that's all lowercase letters, notion.com/squared, lowercase. So you can start turning ideas into action. And when you use the link, you're supporting what we do here on the show too. That's notion.com/squared.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hello, podcast listeners. I'm Connor, and welcome to this special Monday preview of Intelligence Squared. Today, we're featuring an excerpt from our new podcast in partnership with Havas Creative, and it's called No Bullshit Leadership. It's hosted by Chris Hurst, CEO of Havas Creative, who many of you may have heard on the podcast last year. And each week, he speaks to a leader who is cutting through the bullshit and getting things done from the worlds of sport, arts, media, and business. Today's preview of episode one features Sir Clive Woodward, who, of course, brought England to World Cup glory in 2003. And also led Team GB to numerous medals in the London 2012 Olympics. It's a really fascinating conversation with lots of insight into leadership. And if you do enjoy this preview, you can find a link for the full episode in our podcast description. Just click the link, you can go through and subscribe, and you'll be notified about new episodes coming out in the coming weeks. Now, let's go to the preview.
Hi, Chris.
Hi, Farah.
So when we agreed to do this podcast, I told you that as your producer, I'll be frank and direct with you. I need to know, how do you stop yourself reaching for the bullshit?
The problem with whether you're a bullshitter or not is to an extent, something that only other people can decide. So I hesitate to go on record and say I'm definitely not a bullshitter.
Well, one thing there's no room for bullshit on is our quick fire round. Today we're looking at the world of sport. Alex Ferguson or Arsene Wenger?
I think Alex Ferguson. Sport's about winning, and he was a winner.
Football or rugby?
Rugby. I used to love football, but I think it's lost its soul.
Ooh, controversial. Serena Williams or Billie Jean King?
That is a difficult one. I think Serena Williams. And I don't have any really good reasons other than I just love watching her play tennis.
In the stadium or on the sofa?
I mean, officially, because I'm like really cool and authentic and all those kind of things in the stadium. But in reality, secretly, I prefer the sofa.
On the pitch, referees or VAR?
On the pitch. Keep it real. Keep it authentic.
And finally, Bradley Wiggins or Chris Hoy?
Brad Wiggins. I know all the stuff has come out, and I know he's, let's say politely put, polarizing, but that 2012 when he won the Tour de France and he won that Olympic gold, that was just an absolutely iconic moment in time. Hello and welcome to this special live recording of the No Bullshit Leadership podcast powered by Intelligence Squared. I'm Chris Hurst and my guest today is none other than the sporting legend Sir Clive Woodward. Clive, when I went onto your website, the homepage says, how do you want to be remembered? And I suspect you'll be remembered as the World Cup winning head coach who led England's rugby team to World Cup glory in Australia in 2003, who, amongst us can ever forget. Not only was it the first time England won, but the first time any nation in the Northern Hemisphere won the Rugby World Cup, and still the only Northern Hemisphere nation. You then became Team GB's Director of Sport in the London Olympics in 2012, delivering Team GB's most successful Olympic Games in modern times, and you're now a sports and business consultant and founder of Hive Learning, an app which digitises your coaching methods. Thank you for joining us this evening, Clive.
Thanks, Chris, and thanks for that introduction. I've forgotten most of those things.
None of the rest of us have, Clive. None of the rest of us have. In three words, describe your leadership style.
Leadership, teamship, and partnership.
If you could delete any word from the leadership jargon dictionary, what word would that be?
Oh, that's easy. I hate the word. I'm going to reach out to you.
Yeah. Which leader do you most admire, either present, past?
Yeah, Alex Ferguson. Although I'm a big Chelsea fan, I hate Man United, but Ferguson was the best leader I've come across in sport by a long way.
And what's the best advice you've ever been given?
Be curious, but I think write things down, because you think you may remember them, but you can't. So I've even now got a pen, just in case I learn something from you, Chris.
I think that's unlikely, but let's see. It's flattering nevertheless. What's the best decision you've ever made?
We went to live in Australia, I think, to go and work abroad. I went there when I was 29. So I think I stayed there for 5 years. I had a two-year contract with Xerox, stayed there 5 years. So just to work abroad was really excellent time of our life. I think it just makes you independent, and I advise that to anybody. If there's a chance of working abroad, just do it.
And the worst decision you've ever made?
Probably not to go to Australia about 5 years earlier.
I had a look at your website before tonight's recording, and it asks, and I mentioned this in the introduction, how do you want to be remembered? I was presumptuous enough to answer that question for you, but how do you want to be remembered as a leader and a coach?
When you're in leadership positions, you know, I love the word trust and respect. I've always, you know, when people ask me about other leaders, you know, about Alex Ferguson, you kind of trust and respect. And I think the key thing to stress, well, I'm absolutely clear, but you don't get those names associated with you just because you happen to be the leader or the head coach or the chief executive. You get them just by the quality of your actions. And, you know, I always say that to leaders, you are there to set the example, and it's not rocket science. It's just you've got to throw the kitchen sink at it. And certainly from a sporting point of view, I kind of still think as a player, you know the coaches who are re-delivering by what they're doing. You know the coaches who are maybe taking a few shortcuts.
And you've had some incredible highlights so far. What is the highlight for you, whether it be a kind of a real sort of headline achievement or maybe some specific moment within that? What's been the highlight?
Well, I've been very lucky, because the Rugby World Cup win was huge, because, you know, I didn't take the England job on to actually win the Rugby World Cup. I took that job on to try and make England the best team in the world, the number one ranked team in the world. But that one night in Sydney was just the absolutely icing on the cake. Everybody could see this was a very special team. As you said, no one's ever done that before from our part of the world. So that would be the highlight. But I've always been pleased. I moved on from rugby pretty quick. I kind of had a bit of fallout with one or two people at Twickenham after the World Cup and left. And in a year of professional football, I love football. I had a year of professional football, which I love. I'm a fully qualified football coach. So even getting that qualification, I'm hugely proud of. Then the Olympic Games, wasn't just London. I was in charge of the sporting side of the team in Beijing in 2008, Vancouver, the Winter Olympics, obviously London 2012. So I had huge highlights all through that. But what I've been kind of most proud of, I've been looking, and I'm not finished yet by a long way, is actually just, you know, moving on and not sort of, you know, it's great talking about World Cups and all that sort of stuff. But yeah, I moved on pretty quickly to find new challenges, new things to do. And yeah, I still love rugby. I enjoy watching the game, but I've never kind of regretted moving on from the game of rugby.
The World Cup in particular, obviously such an iconic final, not just the winning, but the way it was won. Are you the sort of person that manages to find time to enjoy the moment? I think Johnny Wilkinson sort of famously said, didn't he, that he sort of enjoyed it for about 2 seconds and then just felt a sense of relief. Well, were you able to just really, at the time, reflect on what you'd achieved and sit back and enjoy it?
You probably reflect on it more sort of now, really, just talking to you. You look back at a lot of warm feelings. At the time, when the word used there was relief, to me, it was just a massive relief when that final whistle went. You know, it was just, thank goodness for that. And also, you know, you just know there's no second chance. That was never going to happen again. There's no next week or try again. That was it. And if we'd not won that game, I haven't a clue how I would have turned out. I don't think probably very well. And I don't think any of us would have, because we knew it was a chance of a lifetime. And that was pressure, but the pressure was great. You wouldn't swap it for anything. I loved the pressure of it.
I remember, and I'm not trying to compare the two, but I remember when I first found myself in a leadership position, as in right at the top of a business. And I knew what I wanted to achieve, but I don't think I had a very clear leadership philosophy of my own. I mean, when you first became the head coach, did you have a clear plan for how you were going to go about it? Or did your thinking evolve as you went through?
Do you want the truth?
Yeah, we definitely want the truth.
I didn't have a clue what I was doing. You know, I can look back now, I can say all these wonderful things. But when I say I didn't have a clue, of course I did, but when I got the England rugby job, I think the key thing everyone should understand, I had kind of two careers in business before that. I worked for Xerox, ran Xerox for 8 years, including 5 in Australia. So, you know, and I was a graduate trainee, and I was a sales director in Sydney. So I had a big corporate background. But probably most importantly, when we came back from Australia, I set up my own small leasing and finance company based on the skills I learned with Xerox Finance. We're a small brokerage. So when I say small, it's about 10 people. They also ran for eight years. So I had a big corporate background in terms of Xerox, graduate training, and all that sort of stuff. But probably the most important thing was running your own company where you've got 10 people in the room. You know, and I really look back at that time running my own small finance company. That was the key skills I learned in terms of taking over the rugby team. I couldn't write it down or anything, but you just throw in the kitchen sink at it. You realize you've got to really listen to your people. You've got to make them engage with it. But, you know, we had no HR. There were 10 people sat in a room, and we took on some big, big guys and some of these big deals. I had a lot of fun. I learned so much in that 8 years, learned more in that 8 years than any anything else. And so when you talk about the rugby team, there's no difference. You know, I think when I think about, you know, rugby and sport, rugby and business, you know, you're delivering results through people. That's what leadership's about. You're not delivering it through yourself. You're delivering results through people. But when you think of it, that's the definition of a rugby team, a football team, any business team. You're just finding ways to really, you know, engage and empower your team, and away you go. And I kind of loved it. This is interesting. You know, whilst I love coaching England, I love running my own business. There was no greater buzz than being absolutely the guy in charge. Everything's on the line. You know, school fees, the house. There's no one looking after you. But I learned from both. I learned from a big corporate background, and I learned especially from running my own small company. And when I took over the rugby team, often the players were probably used to drive them nuts. I used to refer to business all the time with them about what we did and how we did things. You know, and I like to think they learned quite a bit. You know, I made no difference. This is a business, you know, and we're here to win. And that's the game.
What do you think are the big similarities and potentially differences between leadership in a sports context and leadership in a business context?
I honestly don't think there is, Chris. I really don't. The two key skills gets is just what I call relentless learning. You're always learning. There's no doubt you look at these great football managers, they're always learning, always trying to find new things, new edges. They're not sitting there thinking, oh, great, we've cracked it. Learning is everything. And the key thing is if you can get the learning done through your people. So it's not just yourself who is a relentless learner. You're encouraging every single person in the team. One of my favourite sayings in the rugby team, there's no such thing as a dumb idea. You know, because sometimes a new player would come into the team, you know, even a young Johnny Wilkinson. When Johnny came into the England rugby team, he was 18, amazing young man, superstar player, but he was so shy, he was so quiet, he was almost intimidated by the more senior players. And then you got me asking him to stand up and speak in front of these players, and he just couldn't. But I made it clear, you've got to get everybody involved. If you've got an idea, you say it, you stand up. Doesn't matter if you leave yourself open for some banter or ridicule. Let me decide whether it's a good or bad idea. What I pride myself on is listening and making sure all these players are really empowered to think about things. And then what I am thinking I'm quite good at, if I think that's a good idea that you've thought about, if that's going to, you know, in sporting terms, make the boat go faster, I'll move heaven and earth to get it done. You have to do it. That's your job. So if this is going to make you a better team, win more gold medals, make the boat go faster, we will do it. We'll get it done. Doesn't matter what it costs. It has to happen.
I love listening to you talk about that, because I know you and I have a shared sort of passion, if that's the right word, for the power of culture within an organisation to drive that organisation's success or if you get it wrong, failure. Johnny Wilkins or whoever it is, you know, without you, he doesn't stand up and speak, does he? I mean, your role there is to create the culture and the environment to make that happen. And I think that's a critical role for leaders.
When I'm thinking about this, you know, one of my favourite things, and I said this to players, great teams made a great individuals, and I repeat it. Great teams made a great individuals. My job with the rugby team is to make every individual player better. So I'm going to make Martin Johnson, Johnny Wilkinson, Lawrence Dallaglio, my job is to make them better at what they do. And if you get every individual, think of your business people, your salespeople, your marketing people, your forklift truck driver, if you invest in them and you're going to try and make that individual better, you know, they will give it back to you in bucket loads. And I really do mean, and they'll know whether you're bullshitting or not. So is this guy delivering? Is he making me a better player? You know, a sports team or a business team, you look around the room and suddenly you see all these amazing individuals who are superstar players. The team stuff, Chris, becomes quite easy to do. And that's how I've always worked, you know, and hence a rugby team is quite interesting because it's so different than even a football team because there's so many different positions and different sizes. So I want to make every single player as best they possibly can. And that's a huge challenge because that keeps you awake at night. But when I'm running my business from, you know, from the secretary to the market, I'm trying to, you know, what have I got to do to make you better at your job? And if you do that, they won't forget that. And that's why I spoke before about trust and respect. I think you get that. If you do it, if you just talk about it and you talk a good game, you know, you can't hide from these people. They know whether you're delivering or not.
We hope you enjoyed this preview of the first episode of our new podcast in partnership with Havas Creative called No Bullshit Leadership. If you'd like to listen to the full episode and subscribe to the No Bullshit Leadership podcast, you can find a link in the episode description.